News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me just tell you, too, if I say it every day, but this, I'm serious. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org's got all our stuff on it. And when I say that, I mean like all our stuff. So if there's something we've written, it's on there. If there's a podcast and you want to rehear part of the show or send a link to somebody or you liked Copper's Corner or one of my monologues or an interview we did with somebody and you want to rehear it or send it out, yeah, it's all on there. The other thing you can do on rightsideradio.org is you go to it and you click on Listen Live. It doesn't matter where you are in the whole wide world, right there on the World Wide Web, no matter where you is, there we is. Right Side Radio can be streamed live, and you can get to that through our website also. Lots of good doings on that site. Plus, I'll be honest with you, one of the cool features is we got a thing called the Right Side Store. If you want a Right Side coffee mug, a t-shirt, even got phone cases with our logo on it. How crazy is that? And my favorite, yes, I say it once in a while. I get kidded by the family. They're probably listening right now going, he's going to say it. He's going to say it. Yes, I am. Right Side Socks. I love Right Side Socks. I've got like three or four pair. Right Side Socks in a variety of colors, mind you. Your entire color wheel can be outfitted with Right Side Socks. But nonetheless, it's all there on the rightsideradio.org website. So check it out. So this topic today... this first topic, the triple dipper, the critical race theory lie is unraveling. It is. But I want to tell you something. You know, I'm going to talk about in a minute this 1619 project. But let me tell you what the opposite of the 1619 project is that if you haven't seen it, is just way cool. There's a website called 1776 Unites. Some of y'all may be familiar with him already, but I love this guy named Bob Woodson. I mean, he's an older black man who was involved in the civil rights movement, who was determined not to let the race baiters and charlatans redefine who we are as a people. He fully embraces and acknowledges the fact that our country, like every country, has its dark moments where things have to be overcome or things have to be changed. But he also recognizes the value of who we are and that we as a nation have undertaken that change. And so 1776unites.com is the website that is designed to do just the opposite of what the 1619 Project does. The 1619 Project, sponsored by the New York Times and, you know, written largely by, oh gosh, what's her name? The activist who just, her name escaped me, but I'll think of it in a minute. What a knucklehead. But she, anyway... Their goal at the 1619 Project is to portray this country as systemically racist and to not allow any narrative that says any different. That every good thing that has ever happened has only happened on the backs of slavery. That every good thing in this nation, that anything we've ever done or accomplished or achieved, any places that we've gone, any triumphs in technology or victories in war have all been built on the backs of oppression. It's such a lie. The opposite of that is 1776unites.com, where a man like Bob Woodson has put together an organization of people that are just committed to the ideals. And when I say this, by the way, you go to this website, you're not going to see a whole bunch of white folks trying to say, don't talk about bad things that happened in the past. No, this is a website by conservative black leaders who are saying this country is great. Racism has existed, but we are a country who has been working through that process better than any country in the world. I mean, I love Bob Woodson's background. He was born in 1937. His father died soon after, and he wound up being raised by his mother, he and his four siblings. He dropped out of high school, joined the Air Force in the early 50s, got his GED, but he later went on to get a BS in mathematics and then a master's in social work. And in the 1960s, he became real active in the civil rights movement. He was the administrator, I believe, for the Justice Division of the National Urban League in New York City. I mean, he's been in the heart of things. But then he was a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, where he began to get into the ideas of neighborhood empowerment and recognizing what you can do to revitalize, truly revitalize. And then in 1981, apparently, he had a $25,000 grant, and he started the Woodson Center. And so Bob Woodson became a guy who has been championing now for over 40 years the ideas of this nation, the ideals and ideas of this nation. And the Woodson Center is the background sponsor, the founding organization behind the 1776 Unites Project. And I love that. I love that. And they've got curriculum. They've got videos. They've got, you know, any number of things that teach, you know, an empowering kind of historically accurate lesson for students of every background to see and appreciate where we've come from. And they tell stories of black achievement. So it's not like they tell you, I'm sorry that you were born black. You are now an oppressed individual. Don't you know how oppressed you are? Well, are there black people that suffer this in this United States? Certainly there are. There are people of every demographic that suffer. But shouldn't it be that we would focus on those who have overcome and use them as examples of where we can be? Shouldn't our kids have heroes as opposed to just other victims to stare at? The ideas of the 1619 Project are to keep people in an oppressed mentality and to make sure they don't have any hope. The ideas of the 1776 Unites Project are just the opposite, to tell stories of achievement from American history. People like Bessie Coleman, the aviator who broke through race and gender barriers and thrilled audiences back in the day, or the heroes of the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, like you may have seen in the movie called Glory, or Biddy Mason, who was born a slave and died a millionaire as a real estate investor, and just goes on and on and on and tells the great stories and has other people like Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams and Glenn Lowry who provide content. I'm just telling you, folks, there's another narrative out there. And the left, the race baiters and the charlatans, they do not want you to see it. They do not want you to see it for even a second, because the minute that people begin to wake up and recognize that race baiters and charlatans are exactly that, they are race baiters and charlatans, it robs them of their power and their ability to make money. And make no mistake, I'm going to show you here in a few minutes, they have been working hard to gain power and influence and money on the ideals of race baiting and being charlatans themselves. Focusing on everything they can find that destroys hope and tears us down as a nation. And they don't want, by the way, just to get by. They openly express their desires to remake who we are as a people. And so I'm just telling you, men, women, and children of every racial background in the world make up the best of who we are as a country. And the very idea that the 1619 Project and Black Lives Matter and the Southern Poverty Law Center and other race baiters and charlatans like that think they can tear us down, I got news. There's a hopeful story out there, and we're going to talk about it more in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You know what's funny? I'm sitting here, by the way, this is totally off my topic, but I'm just sitting here. I was surfing through social media during the break. It is hilarious right now to see Twitter being trolled on Twitter because of them being trolled by Elon Musk on Twitter. It's just hilarious. We'll talk about that more later on. Hey, I got a caller on line three who held on during the break, so let me grab that and see what's going on. Line three, Dan from Madison. Hey, Dan, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Well, Phil, as usual, you know, you always get it. I mean, you're going to say no, you don't, but you get it right just about 99%.
Well, I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, my man, you're right. Race baiters and these guys, I'm telling you, my man, all for the almighty dollar. You know, God wants us to live and be like him. And to me, God is the almighty of heaven and earth, and someone I rely on every day and live and walk through my life for him, and in turn makes me a better person. But, man, there's so many people out there that are not doing what the good word should be said and done. And I'm really fed up with the fact that we got people that have prominent names or faces that act like that just for the almighty dollar. And these people buy into it, and they're innocent people. Maybe they believe it, but they're believing falsehoods, okay? So the thing I'm trying to say here is that every day when I do my walk through this life of mine, I only have one of them, I'm going to do the best I can. But when I see this other stuff going on with people that are greedy and everything, it just breaks my heart, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Is there ever really going to be an answer or something we can do to change this without, I mean, what we do right now, we're trying to change it. Just listening to your show and shows like your show. All I want is the truth. I just don't want to be lied to. Even if it's, you know, something I don't really want to hear, it's the truth.
Well, Dan, first of all, thank you, and I agree with you. I mean, faith being the underlying issue or cause in my life, I agree. And secondly, I think that the thing you just said is will it ever come to an end? I don't think it will ever come to an end, but I don't think it has to remain to such prominence. I think we can, if we have enough. And by the way, it's like my wife always says: there's a lot more of us than there are of them. There's a lot more people who care and are concerned with reality and truth and with the growth and the blessings of this nation than there are those who want to tear it down.
One more thing real quickly, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I got to get this in. And, you know, our president and that administration and people that support that administration, they're doing a lot of backwalking. They're backing it back, okay, because now they know they're in a big hole and they can't get out of it. Now they're going to start blaming people. Instead of getting the answers, you're blaming, and that's negativity. If you really wanted to get me as a voter, you just give me positive reinforcement and show me the way how to get out of the situation you're in. They want to blame when they put themselves in that position, Phil.
I don't disagree. Dan, good call, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you. I got a great audience. And he's right. And the race baiters and the charlatans, they want us to remain cowed. They want us to remain in a position where, like, for instance, when I started off my monologue a while ago, one of the first things I said was, by the way, I'm a white guy. Well, I just am. That's the way God decided to make me. And according to his word, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, just like anyone who was born any other way. And so it doesn't matter what your demographic, your ethnicity is when you're born. It does not negate your right to have an opinion. Well, I have an opinion. I have an opinion that racism is bad, but that we are not all racist. How about that? I have an opinion that racism exists in the world, but we are not systemically racist as a nation. I have an opinion that history shows that we had dark moments in our founding where there was slavery and there were other injustices, along with many, many other nations in the world. But I also recognize that history shows that we have been working our way out of that with more, you know, gainful opportunities existing in this country for minorities than in the majority of the rest of the world. And that the laws of this nation have been established to prevent such things from ever happening again. Will bad people continue to exist? Yes. Does it mean that we are all bad because they do? No. And so, listen, what it's going to take, and to answer Dan's question, what it's going to take to get to the point that this is mitigated and not allowed to have the complete sway? Like, for instance, just look back. Was it 2020 when all the riots were occurring, I think? I mean, the last 2 years are a blur, aren't they? But it was at 2020, I believe, when the riots were occurring throughout the nation. Yes, because Trump was still in office. And the riots were occurring throughout the nation. And Black Lives Matter was having its name painted on streets and, you know, just grifting the nation with the idea that you better answer them and don't you dare have an opinion otherwise. Well, I got news. They're being exposed now. Let me jump into my topics here because I've got a ton of research. First of all, let's talk about Black Lives Matter. All right, now that I've just mentioned them, I'm going to go ahead and skip down a couple pages in my stack here. Here's a story that came off of Bongino. Bongino Report has a story. It's titled, BLM Co-Finder is Triggered by Charity Transparency Laws, Says They Endanger Her. Okay, point number one, when you see people that don't think that the law applies to them or shouldn't because they're special, danger, Will Robinson. So this story is dated yesterday. He points out the fact that, you know, it's being discovered that the Black Lives Matter leadership that fleeced the nation for $90 million in the last couple of years, $90 million, that right now, first of all, they can't account for about 60 of it. But no one knows where it went. They have already had, by the way, the state of California has turned off their charitable fundraising opportunities because they cannot account for where their funds have gone. They're not reporting correctly. They just recently discovered that the organization secretly purchased a $5.8 million mansion, a nearly $6 million mansion in California. Their co-founder, Patrice Cullors, was revealed to have purchased four high-end homes for a total of $3.2 million. That's the first thing that brought their shady finances to prominence. And despite, you know, preaching, you know, widespread white supremacy in America, she opted to purchase these expensive homes in predominantly white neighborhoods. Where, like in California, where they bought the Black Lives Matter mansion, the city that they bought it in is only 4% black. It's not like they're not even trying to hide their hypocrisy. And they go on, she goes on this article to say that she shouldn't have to provide these financial disclosures. She says filing a 990, which is one of the documents you have to file with your nonprofit status, a 990, the term 990 is triggering to her, and she just thinks it endangers her and her friends and doesn't believe they should have to provide, whatever. So apparently the activist is also a snowflake. Story off Fox News dated today, actually. Black Lives Matter leaders are not capitalist converts. They still want to dismantle the U.S. So here's the thing. Many have reacted, it says, to the news that the founders of Black Lives Matter lavishly spent donated money on luxury mansions by asking, how can Marxists behave this way? Because, yes, the leadership of BLM are avowed Marxists. One activist was even quoted as saying, this must mean that they're capitalists now. Well, no, they're not. The BLM organizations, it says, raise money in the name of social justice, but to them that does not mean helping individual black Americans improve their lives. What it means is fundamentally altering the American system. Now, by the way, the author says that, but in a minute here, I got a quote. I'll just go ahead and skip forward to it. Where was that quote? She said it herself. We need to dismantle. Oh, here it is. Yes. Alicia Garza, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, was very clear about her all-encompassing goal when she told a gathering of Marxists in Maine in 2019, quote, we're talking about changing how we've organized this country. I believe we all have work to do to keep dismantling the organizing principles of this society. I mean, you got that? You hear that? This is what they want to do. But all that money, I mean, right now, according to the same article, the Internal Revenue Service has not even the foggiest idea where the rest of the money is. And we're not talking about chump change. New $90 million. The Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, which is the flagship of the whole BLM empire. The attorneys general of California and Washington State both have suspended Black Lives Matter's fundraising capacity because it's delinquent on all of its 2020 reports. This is an article dated 2022. Thank you very much. All of this to say, some of the members of the black community are now beginning to say, what have you done for us besides make yourself rich? Like the father of Michael Brown. Remember Ferguson? The father of Michael Brown and Lisa Simpson and Samaria Rice, which are the mothers of Tamara Rice and Richard Risher. These are all three, very famously, they had kids that were killed by police in situations that BLM showed up and created all kinds of furor and raised a lot of money. Well, they're asking right now, why haven't you done anything for our families? All you did was use our families to raise more money. They're the ones asking the question. Well, there's that. But listen, what else is out there? What else is going on in this narrative? Well, I got a stack of stuff that I'm probably not even going to get to. But right now, if you look at it, between the 1619 Project, the attempts to insert critical race theory into our schools, and the fact that parents are being disallowed left and right from knowing what is being taught, and then on top of that, you got Black Lives Matter fleecing the public for money and buying themselves luxury mansions, I would say this. I would say that the CRT lie is beginning to unravel. Especially when you look at things that are happening in the news right now. In Waukesha, Wisconsin, it was a black activist who ran through the parade. In the subway shooting yesterday or day before yesterday in New York City, it was a black activist who did all that. Where is Black Lives Matter? Where are they? They are nowhere to be found. All right, Copper, move us to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Critical race theory, that lie is unraveling. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. So, yeah, heading down to the end of this segment, which is flying by. How are we almost done with the first hour of the show, Copper? Did you speed the clock up? What is going on right now?
Wow, I guess we are.
I mean, word. By the way, there was an old trick. Have I ever told you what used to happen sometimes in the Alabama legislature with the clocks?
No.
I told you that story? True story. In fact, I'm sure there's anecdotal stories out there about it. But the clock, you know, you're not by law, you're not allowed to go past midnight. Otherwise, you initiate a new legislative day. You're not allowed to do that. So they used to literally unplug the clock, and so it was not uncommon for it to be 11:59 for about a good 45 minutes, sometimes or more, while they finished something up.
Of the law, much.
I mean, you know, I know, but it was actually, I think it may actually say in the law, I'm not positive, it may say in the law, the clock or the timekeeping clock in the chamber. So that was a timekeeping clock, and they just went ahead and unplugged it. The new version they have up there now cannot be unplugged. Mm. It's wired into the wall, so good luck with that. Okay, that was a total aside. Back on my topic here, for the next few minutes, the CRT lie is unraveling. I'm not even touching the amount of highlighted material I've got here. Let me just tell you this. Critical race theory. So, and the 1619 Project. These are two narratives that are being thrust into, and don't tell me they're not. I mean, I know that Kyle Whitmire at AL.com is just, they don't teach that. They teach that in higher ed. No, they don't. They really don't. The 1619 Project is being adopted in school systems like nationwide. Liberal school boards are adopting the 1619 essays like almost universally in some places. But the thing is this, great story off a great piece written in National Review, dated a couple months ago, actually. But National Review has one called the 1619 False History Project. And they point out in here that the 1619 Project, which exists for the sole purpose of portraying the United States as only being successful because of the oppression of minorities, like that's the only reason, nothing else. Was there oppression? Yes. Is that the only reason why this nation was successful? No. Anyway, they point out there's a truly global prevalence. Let me back up. National Review points out that there are four things that the 1619 Project chooses to overlook. Number one, that there was a truly global prevalence, it says, of slavery and similar barbaric practices until quite recently, or in other places. I'm not talking about the United States. Like, they make it out as if the United States had the corner on the market for racism. No, not at all. In fact, the United States has been spending more time in its history, pro rata, than any other nation in the world at getting out of those things. All right, there's that. Number two, the detrimental economic impact of the institutions of the South and on the American national economy. What he's basically saying is they focus so much on the South of the United States during the days of racism, not taking into account that the South did not represent the vast majority of the population of the nation. All right, there's that. Number two, the nuanced but deeply patriotic perspectives on the United States expressed by black and white leaders of the victorious anti-slavery movement. All right, so what they're saying there is, at the same time that they were fighting against slavery, there were people like Frederick Douglass. There have been leaders that have risen up, like the I talked about earlier with the 1776 Unites project by Bob Woodson. There are great thought thinkers like Thomas Sowell and others who have proven that this nation does have so much to offer, and yet they come from the background that they could have chosen to feel like the oppressed if they'd wanted to. And then the last thing, it says the reality that much of American history, in fact, had nothing to do with racism. Very true. Great piece on the National Review. But Ted Cruz recently took issue with all this. Storyline from National Review also dated 2 days ago. Ted Cruz defends states banning teaching CRT and gender ideologies. He says curriculum is not censorship. And I totally agree. He points out, he says that critics of anti-CRT legislation are looking at things like Tennessee having a law recently that banned concepts that ascribe character traits, values, moral or ethical codes, privileges or beliefs to a race or sex. We had one in the legislature here in Alabama. They couldn't follow through with it. They were scared, apparently, in the state Senate. I'm not sure what the holdup was or why my friends in leadership in the state Senate could not get that one across the final finish line. But it was called the Divisive Concepts Bill. Basically, that you did not teach that any demographic of person is oppressed or oppressor simply by birthright. Well, Ted Cruz says, in his words, he says, school districts across the country are adopting the 1619 Project as an element of their curriculum. He says, no teacher has a First Amendment right to teach his or her children that 2 + 2 = 5. And even if it's a free speech matter, if you're a math teacher, you teach students that you get 2 + 2 = 4. The same is true with history. Teach real history. Real history. All right, folks, I did not even scratch the surface. We'll see whether I come back to this topic because I got so much more on the CRT lie unraveling, but I think you get the drift. Coming up next, one of my favorite times every single week, Copper's Corner. We'll see what she's got on her plate. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.